Are you ready to step beyond your sexual walls? We're here to talk about anything you want. This is the Sisters of Sexuality show, featuring Taylor Sparks, Parrish Michelle Blair, Jet Setting Jasmine, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae. We have so much to talk about today, so let's just get things started. Here are your hosts, Taylor, Parrish, Jasmine, Marla, and Tiffany.
Good evening, sexy people. This is your host, Taylor Sparks, with Organic Lovin' and SistersOfSexuality.com. I am so excited about our guest this evening, Mr. Kevin Patterson. We've got so much to talk about, but let me give you a little bit of information about him. Kevin Patterson is an active member of the Philadelphia polyamory community. He's been practicing ethical non-monogamy since August of 2002, after opening up a relationship that eventually became his marriage. In April of 2015, Kevin was inspired to start Poly Role Models, an interview series for people describing their experiences with polyamory. Poly Role Models is part of a drive and a desire to change the way our lives and communities are viewed. It is currently the most diverse and inclusive platform for polyamory available. To continue discussion of polyamorous representation, Kevin has extended the blog's work into nationwide speaking engagements about how race and polyamory intersect. This has led to the writing of the book, Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. Along with co-writer Alana Phelan, Kevin launched the sci-fi novel series, For Hire. The series centers characters of color as well as other marginalized identities. Kevin, welcome to the show, sexy man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
When I saw this book, and it was actually my representative for IPG book publishing that recommended it, brought it to my attention first. Okay. And because I'm always looking for, and he was a new rep working with me, my company, organiclovin.com. Not only do we specialize in, you know, organic intimate body products, but we have body safe sex toys, but we carry over 100 different books, everything from sex positions, relationships, sexual health and wellness. And I have other books on polyamory. He goes, oh, there's a new book out. You must see this book. And I'm like, what is it? And he showed it to me. I'm like, yes. So I ordered it right away.
Wow.
And it just, I want you to tell our audience about your book, and then I will add my two cents in. But I can tell you, I am so happy that you took the time and the energy and the focus to write it, because it touches on so many different experiences as a person of color. Speaking for myself as a person of color who is living and playing in these alternative lifestyle communities. And I'm just so happy you did it. So tell my audience a little bit about the book for those who don't know. They know now about you, but give them a little baseline if you would.
All right. Well, I opened up the relationship that became my marriage back in 2003. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until maybe 2013, 2014 when I started going into polyamory communities. Mm-hmm. And so I was already sort of a decade into non-monogamy, but once I started entering communities, I found myself being treated a certain way. I found myself having a certain kinds of conversations. I found myself having certain experiences just that I knew were related to me being a black man in these polyamory spaces. Mm-hmm. And it would just be the topic of conversation that happened a lot, because it was just an easy conversation to have. I'm just talking about myself. And eventually a friend of mine, Rebecca Hiles, who does the Frisky Fairy blog, she said, you should be speaking about this in educational spaces, because that's something that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started speaking about my experiences about race and polyamory and how they intersect. And eventually somebody was like, well, you should write a book about this.
Mm.
And so I started writing a book based on the same workshops that I was giving about race and polyamory all over the place. And it was sort of amazing, because when I was started writing it, I thought I was kind of rushing. Like, I was like, I need to get this out, because there's probably 3 or 4 or 5 other people writing similar books about race and polyamory.
And to your surprise.
to my surprise, I was just the guy. I had no idea. So I get the book out, and it seems like, I mean, there are other people talking about, like, very related topics, talking about, like, the way, Christopher Smith has a very similar topic. Alicia Bunyan Sampson, who does the blog Diary of a Polyamorous Black Girl, mm-hmm. she speaks about stuff very similar to what I speak about. But, like, nobody was sitting down and writing a book to sort of capture it all. And, in fact, like, Alicia has stories that appear in Love's Not Colorblind, mm-hmm. as does, like, Dirty Lola, who does Sex at a Go-Go, and, like, yes. Ida Mandalay, who does fucking everything, you know?
Right.
I made it a point to reach out to people who had either similar experiences or at least related experiences to some of the topics that I cover in the book Love's Not Colorblind.
Yeah. And I thank you again for taking the time to, I know what kind of time it takes to write a book. I've done it, and it's like, oh my God, will I ever be done? But even though you're excited to do it, one of the things that struck me as familiar, you know, I am one of those, I started to mention before we got on the air, you know, I'm one of those people that are spread across, you know, a few different communities, I think because I'm a Gemini, and then okay. I'm also an experimentalist, so I'm like, oh, fuck it, let's try that too. So, you know, my husband and I started with open marriage and then kind of backed into the swinging thing, backwards, and then got introduced to poly and kink at the exact same time from the exact same people almost 5 years ago. My husband's like, we're doing what now? No, I'm not doing that. I don't want a date. Like, I want a boyfriend. He's like, nope, gonna get my pussy and come home. But a number of the experiences that you recounted in your book, I have experienced in both the swinger world and the kink, all three, swinger world, the kink world, and the polyamorous world.
Yeah.
It's not just the polyamorous world where this is happening to us people of color.
Yeah, and I made it a point to sort of preface that, where the book Love's Not Colorblind, it's not like a polyamory 101 book.
It's not a
book that's limited to speaking about polyamory. Like, I love analogies. I speak in analogies. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the stuff that I talk about is just as relatable if you're talking about a swing community or a kink community or a blues dancing community or just life in general. You know, like, I speak a lot about privilege and entitlement and oppression, and that's a universal topic.
Yeah. It is a universal topic, because one of the things that that stood out for me was the white people shit.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, I initially came. What is it? HBO, Netflix, the Dear White People show.
Netflix.
When I saw the white people shit and some of the things you commented on, all I could think about was, like, dear white people. And it's like, you have these things that are happening to you that make you go, really? Are you all just not going to look up from your life for one moment and realize that the things you're doing doesn't make any sense? Tell our audience a little bit about the white people shit that you come to realize, and I'll tell you what I found today on my search for the images.
Well, the way it works is, if you don't see yourself represented in certain things, it's really easy to discount yourself from certain things. Like, it's very rare that that I see, like, imagery of black folks doing, like, extreme sports, you know,
mm-hmm.
like surfing or skydiving and mountain climbing. I remember when the Tony Hawk games, the video games, were really popular.
Yes.
There was, like, one black guy in, like, 16 characters.
And, right, and this is make-believe. It's not even, like, real.
Yeah. And so I would only ever use this one black guy because he was the only black person available. But, like, it's really easy to just discount things that you don't see yourself represented in. It's just white people shit. And
Go ahead.
If you've ever seen the show Insecure on HBO, which is a show that I love, mm-hmm. it's Issa Rae and
yes.
Issa Rae is sort of the voice of reason amongst her group of friends on that show. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like the second season, there was like this non-monogamy storyline. And when her friend's like, hey, I'm dating this guy who's married, but they have an arrangement. The first thing Issa says is, isn't that white people shit?
Is that where that came from?
No. Like it's something that I tried to tweet her about because I was like, hey, you just said this on the show, but also this is a chapter title of my book.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the question that most of my monogamous friends have asked me at some point during my non-monogamous life. Like, oh, I see you're doing that thing, Kev, but isn't that white people shit?
I know. And it's so true. I've heard myself say that about certain things. Not that, but some things are just, that's white people shit.
Yeah. And like, okay, if it's white people fucking up, it's okay to avoid. But there's also like this living your best life sort of portion of your life that people avoid just because they don't want to be seen as doing quote unquote white people shit. Mm. And it's something that like representation helps. Where I was in, back in, I think, December of 2017, I appeared in Philadelphia Daily News. Me and my wife, we were front page. It was a really well-written article about myself, my wife, some friends of ours, and just having us represented. That article brought several hundred people into our local community. Wow. Within the next couple of months.
Wow.
Like roughly 400 people in 2 months into a polyamory community, and most of them were people of color. Most of them were black. Like I was somebody who was in charge of the intake process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I got to see the names and faces of all these people who were coming into our Facebook group. And I'd say maybe 2/3 of those people were black.
Wow. That is impressive. Is this the same article that you were stating that pictures were used, but your quotes were not added? Is that a different article you're talking about?
That was a different article. That was a bad article. New York Times Magazine. Do not recommend.
Oh my God. Yeah, no. But that also reminded me, I was presenting at Sex Expo a couple years ago and was in an article, was interviewed, and my picture was used, but my quotes were not. Hey, so I had to like reach out to the writer and fortunately it was online, but it was an online magazine. And I'm like, you seem to forget my portion because we similar had the same kind of interview. So,
yeah.
But at least that when you do the white people shit, that's like going to St. Bart's. It's like, where is that? Why would we go there? We can just go to Montego Bay.
Yeah.
That's white people shit.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
But you do go to, you've been to St. Bart's.
I've only been to Montego Bay.
No! Wait, we're going to talk a little bit more with Kevin when we come back about some more white people shit. And I want to talk about the images that you Googled and what you Googled when you were doing the book and what I Googled today to see what the difference and if Google has made many changes. So hold on, Kevin, don't go away. This is your host, right, Taylor Sparks. And we are sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. If you have questions, we are live with Kevin Patterson, founder of Poly Role Models, author of Love's Not Colorblind. If you have some questions, do call in at 866-613-1612. And we'll be right back after the break.
Craving more from your sexy lifestyle? Search our businesses, services, blogs, articles, and videos, and keep in touch with us by subscribing to our newsletter, all on thesexylifestyle.com.
When the lights are off, that's no reason not to light things up. Lube Light lets you pop its cap for instant illumination so your lube gets applied to all the sweet spots and never the awkward ones. No more slippery midsection, unless you're into that. You can keep it turned on while you're getting down with your partner. Our ambient lighting is soft enough to never blind while you're doing the grind. No matter what lube gets you vibing, it's compatible with Lube Light. Easier to turn on than your last partner, guaranteed. Get yours today at lubelights.com. Also available on Amazon and SheVibe.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love.
How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Hey, sexy people, welcome back. This is your host, Taylor Sparks, and we are with the ever so chocolatey, handsome man, Kevin Patterson. And we are discussing his newest book, Love's Not Colorblind. I feel as though it will not be his last book.
Whoa. It is actually not my newest book.
Newest? But there's another book? What's the newest book? Oh, is it the sci-fi novel?
Yeah.
Ah.
I actually kind of wrote them at the same time, and I put them out a few months apart.
Oh, well, wait, hold on. We got to come back to that.
Okay.
I want to finish talking about the white people shit.
Yeah,
The search for polyamory images on Google. So when you were writing the book, so first of all, what made you even do the search for the images on Google? Looking for people of color.
I just decided to experiment. It was just it was just all the top of my head. Like, it was something I had done before. Mm. And then I decided to do it for the book, where I wanted to see if, like, the results changed at all if I did it for the book versus me just doing it haphazardly. Mm-hmm. So I Googled polyamory. I went to the image search tab, and I was dozens of pictures in before I would find any people of color. Mm. And, like, there was lots of diagrams, lots of pictures of hands holding hands, like two, uh-huh, three hands holding each other. You know, I remember there was like a picture of two guys making out, and then on their shoulders were two women who were also making out up top over their shoulders.
Oh my gosh.
But it was, I think it was, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was like 50 something pictures in
51.
Before I found 51. Yeah. Uh-huh. Where before I found any people of color, and the person of color that I found was Steve Harvey, who was
really,
yeah. I mean, not because he's polyamorous, but he had done a show supposedly about polyamory. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewing this pickup artist who uses polyamory as a way to sell his products.
What?
The guy shows up in media. Like, I know his name, but I'm not going to say it because fuck him. But he's this traditionally attractive, cisgender, heterosexual white guy. Mm. And he's married to he's together with these two cisgender, mm-hmm, bisexual, traditionally attractive white women, thin, mm-hmm, able-bodied white women.
So fragile.
And every year or so, this guy pops up in the media where it's like, first it's like, hey, look at me, I'm with these two women, buy my product for pickup artist techniques.
No.
And then like a year will pass and it'll be like, I've got both of my hot girlfriends pregnant, buy my product for pickup artist techniques.
No, I've never seen this guy, thank goodness. What?
Yeah. So
swingers aren't even that creepy.
Yeah. So Steve Harvey had this guy on his show And this picture of Steve Harvey from that episode was the first person of color who popped up in a Google image search when I put in polyamory.
Wow. How long ago was that? A year?
This was when I was writing the book. It was 2016. It was
so almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. 2016, 2017 as well. I was writing the book. So mm-hmm. It was way back then. The last time I did it, a search, it was a little bit better, but not by a whole lot.
No, I did the search today. I just was wondering what I would come up with. So when I did the search today, the third picture actually in had a brother in it.
Oh, wow.
But he was, there was like a quad, you know, it was like four people on the couch. So I'm like, is this a loving relationship? And then the fifth picture was a cartoon of a bunch of people and it was all hugged up and kissing. And then there was like a person, I couldn't tell if it was a guy or a girl, had an afro.
Yeah.
And then it went down to like the eighth picture, which was a cartoon with no faces. And it was like a sister, I'm assuming, with an afro in the middle, a white person to her right, and a person in a kink fetish mask covered up like a man to the left. And she had her arms around both people. And then it went down to like eighth picture. And the same brother who was in the third picture was just with him and the two women. I'm like,
yeah.
No, that's not quite it.
Did you see any did you see the pictures of all the white feet?
Yeah, no, that I didn't see that one in today's, but I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for black people. But I've used that one for swinger images, which makes more sense because people do tend to confuse polyamory with swinging or swinging with polyamory. And I know dozens of people who identify as lifestylers or swingers who are actually living a polyamorous life, but because they don't know what polyamorous is, they don't realize they're poly.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, for the first almost decade of my non-monogamous life, I was doing polyamory things without the word or without a whole lot of language or culture around polyamory. Like, I didn't have any community. I was just sort of dating whoever would have me. And like, oh, really? You're okay dating a partnered man, a engaged man, a married man? Okay, sure. If you're into it, let's go. But
right.
But it would be years before I actually found like a language and a culture and people to be around to sort of support what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Has it, when you and your now wife dated and opened a relationship and then got married, was there a coming out process or was it always kind of undercover or was it always open to the family?
Well, it wasn't open to the family for a long time. Like, it was open to our friends because like we opened up with a threesome, and in stereotypical cishet male fashion, what happened was I got back home after having some threesomes and I told all my boys, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that's when all of them were like, well, A, isn't that white people shit? And B, isn't that going to ruin your relationship? You know?
Right.
Yeah. So like there wasn't really a coming out process there. It was just, they remember the time when Kev had a threesome. Mm. And then eventually it became, oh, wow, you're actually dating people. Okay, if that's how you want to live your life. Meanwhile, like that was like with my friends, and like at the same time, my wife was telling her homegirls at the same time.
Right.
Whereas with family, I didn't really tell anybody until I was dating somebody who I didn't want to hide. When I was dating someone who I didn't want to pass off as just a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So once that happened, I actually told my family, and I was like, "Hey, like this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm living my life and loving my relationships." And my mom wasn't okay with it.
Yeah.
I get the impression that my dad doesn't really care, but because he's not the voice of his relationship, if my mom is mad, he's got to be mad by default. And that's sort of where we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. So, but even though all these years, is she still not okay?
Yeah, no. And like the sad part about it is that my mom is an academic. like a lot of my family vacations as a kid was us going to nursing conferences because she teaches nursing. And so we'd go to these conferences and like my dad would take us around to see the sites while my mom would be at these conferences. Now I'm going to sex ed conferences and polyamory conferences. I'm speaking in academic circles the way I've watched my mom do growing up.
Sure.
And she's not okay with it. I'm doing all these things that she would do. I'm modeling a lot of what I do after stuff I've watched my mom do. Mm. And if I was doing this in basically any other field other than like dating and sexuality and such, she'd probably be okay with it. She'd brag to her friends, look at my son doing all these things that I did. My kid wrote a book. But about polyamory,
she doesn't want to talk about
it. Nope.
I kind of understand. My mom is, we came out to our adult children and mom. Some of my family has known, but once I kind of settled into polyamory and realized that the polyamory was going, and then we had the radio show launching and I was on other people's podcasts, I was afraid my kids were going to click on a link, you know, and hear something instead of us just telling them. But, you know, my mom, once I settled into the polyamory, and my husband does not identify as poly.
Okay.
And you know, I'm like, we just need to tell folks and stuff. And he was like, why? I'm like, because I'm telling everybody.
Yeah.
So we just need to tell them before they find out the wrong way, but not the wrong way, not through us. I'd rather them hear it through us first as well.
Got to control that narrative.
Yeah, especially if you're out talking in public with regards to people. So we're going to be coming on break soon, but I also want to talk a little about the tokenism segment in the book.
Yeah.
And let's just start that conversation. We'll take a break and we'll come back to it. But, you know, why was the tokenism really important and the differences between the tokenism and the fetishization?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm always worried about, like, just people feeling like me being black in a space is all that I have to offer. And also that, like, me showing up to a space means that you don't have to work harder to get more black people, more people of color in because, oh, well, Kevin's here, so the race problem's solved. So I'm always really loud about all of that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so... This is a really important topic, because if you are in an alternative community and if you are participating in the events in these alternative communities and you see the same onesie, twosies, threesie, foursies of us, is it your responsibility, you know, to go up and say something to the organizers? You know, because I know I have, but, you know, for the others, I mean, do they sit back and just go, you know, there's enough of us. I don't mind with it just being three of us here. I'm cool.
Oh, yeah. When we come back from the break, don't worry. I got a lot I can say about it.
Oh, well, good. Because I want to hear everything you got to say about this. Because you and I both are on the same page as this. Because I have said some things. I'm like, you guys, hold on. Don't move. We're going to take a break. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about tokenism and fetishization in the alternative communities. And Kevin and I both have a lot to say. This is Taylor Sparks, your host tonight with Sisters of Sexuality, and we are sponsored by LifestyleCruising.com. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
Discover, explore, and celebrate your sexy right here on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Hey, sexy people, welcome back. I am here with the wonderful, most handsome Kevin Patterson. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Got me over here blushing.
I am blushing. I can't tell from here, but I'm gonna get close. So before the break, we were talking about the two of the chapters in the book, Tokenism and Fetishization. So Let's talk about first the differences between the two, and then let's talk about the two different chapters. So what's the differences between tokenism, and fetishization? Fetishization.
Ugh. Well, being treated as a token is basically people sort of creating the illusion of diversity, where like if I've got a group of white friends and then like I am the black guy, people can like say, oh, well, it's cool, I have a black friend. Mm-hmm. We've got the diversity problem licked. We're an inclusive group. Look, there's a black guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that felt like what my experience was for like the first couple of years that I had in the community, where I was one of very few people of color, one of very few black people who were showing up to events on a regular basis. And like, it was like me, my wife, one other dude named Kevin and his wife, you know?
Yeah.
And so, which is why I was always really loud about it, because I didn't want anyone using me as an example and saying, oh, well, we don't have to work too hard on inclusivity. Kevin's here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And to be fetishized is to be treated as a sexual object based on an aspect of your identity. And like, these are really rudimentary definitions that I'm just sort of giving off the top of my head.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, don't write a paper based on the definition you got here right now.
Okay. So let's talk about tokenism in the alternative lifestyle communities, poly, and I can talk a little bit about it from the swinger side, but let's talk about that. And you made mention of the college photoshopping too. Oh my God. Dude.
And it was actually a big story on ESPN for a bit, where I think it was University of Wisconsin in Madison, mm-hmm. where they had put out 100,000 copies of their student guide one year. And it's a bunch of people at a football game. And there's one black guy in the student guide. But when you look close enough, you realize he's actually photoshopped in. It's mm-hmm. a picture completely of white people.
Yes.
And they photoshopped in a black guy because they said, like, oh, wow, this looks like a problem. This looks like a Klan rally. There are no people of color anywhere in this picture. And instead of finding a different picture, or better yet, instead of changing school policies to further inclusive measures to make the school actually more diverse, they just photoshopped in a guy. They just created a sort of digital tokenism to pretend to fix a problem that the school had.
Right. And obviously they knew there was a problem, because otherwise they would not have photoshopped him in.
Exactly.
But they just figured, no one had noticed this one black head. It wasn't even like it was a great Photoshop job. I saw that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
They just stuck it in there.
And there's a bunch of those. Like, if you put in Photoshop and black, and this one you could find by like college Photoshop in black, but mm-hmm. like if you can find a lot of different examples where it'll be like a group of white friends and then like they Photoshop in a black friend, like one of them, it was so ridiculously done where like all of the white women in the picture are the it's natural light coming from the left side. And yes. Then you've got the one black person in the group where it's very clearly artificial light coming from the right side.
But again, with the white people shit, what do you consider tokenism in the alternative lifestyle community? So is it the fact that the organizers of events, you know, let's say if the event has 500 people and there's, you know, one black person on the organizing committee, and then you have, you know, three black people that come, you know, what have you said to the organizers in the past?
I mean, I don't usually talk directly to the organizers. Mm-hmm. I talk about the organizers. I talk about the organization, because if I talk to the organizers, I'm going to be treated as a firebrand. I'm going to be treated as a malcontent. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's white people's responsibility to talk to the organizers, because they're going to have more social credibility there speaking to other white people about a diversity problem. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I show up and say it, I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
Where, oh, yeah.
You know? I always reference, there's a group on Facebook called White Nonsense Roundup. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, now White Nonsense Roundup is a Facebook group full of white people, and they're dedicated to taking the place of people of color in arguments about racism.
Huh.
So what'll happen is if I'm getting into an argument about racism and somebody's just not trying to hear the words that I'm saying, I'll tag White Nonsense Roundup and a white person will appear and argue with this person on my behalf. Now, every single time that I've tagged White Nonsense Roundup into a conversation, the person I was arguing with would listen. Now, the White Nonsense Roundup representative would come in and say damn near the same thing I was saying. And the person I was arguing with would always be like, oh, wow, thank you for explaining it to me, fellow white person. Now
oh my
I
God.
Understand.
They would
literally thank them for saying the same thing that I had just finished saying that they dismissed completely.
But based on the country that we live in and yeah. the racism, the threat of the country that we live in, you know, big black man, you just can't say shit.
Yeah.
Without it being misconstrued into your issues, your challenges, your daddy issues, your where you were raised and you
overly
just don't understand.
Sensitive.
Overly sensitive. And, you know, one of the things about not seeing race, which is one of the comments in the book about people not seeing race and or, you know, not seeing color, as sometimes white people, I can tell where somebody's intention lies when they look at you and they go, I don't see color.
Yeah.
I treat everyone the same. And I had a conversation last year at an event with a guy who was looking to get close to me, you know, and he had one drink. Maybe too many.
Okay.
And in the midst of the conversation, one of the things he was like, listen, girl, you know, honey, sweetie pie, I don't see color. You know, you're beautiful and all women are beautiful. And I held his hands. I looked him deep in the eyes. I said, I know you mean well, but I find that comment very offensive because
he wouldn't have said that to a white woman.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I said, but you don't understand that I know you mean well, but to tell me you don't see this dark chocolate brown color of my skin, I found offensive. I wish to be seen, and to tell me you don't see it. And it took, you know, me repeating that several times before he actually kind of said he got it. But I'm like, don't tell me you don't see me. That's what you're saying. You're telling me you don't see me. I mean, is that the same take on it you get, or is that just my?
Yeah. I mean, like I understand that what he's trying to say is I treat everyone the same way. Mm-hmm. But also, you have to understand that our situations aren't the same. You know, if if I don't see color was something he regularly said to white people, then maybe he would have a point. The only reason he said that to you was because you're black.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. It's like if somebody breaks a leg, you know, and I say, well, I don't see injuries. We're all human and we all have the same basic bodies. So I don't know why you want me to acknowledge something that's different about you that I don't have, that causes you trouble that I don't have to deal with.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah. But I don't know how. So when you are at the events and you go back and forth and forth and back to these events and you don't see any diversity, you get one of your white partners, friends to champion your cause, so to speak, to try to talk to the organizers, or leave the group?
Yeah, for me, I just talk. Like, and the way it works here in Philadelphia, I just talked about it until more people were having the conversation, and the people who were having the conversation were white folks, you know, because I'm just talking about it in casual conversation. I'm talking about it at the event. I'm talking about it at home. I'm talking about it on Facebook. And then there are other people who hear what I'm saying and think, yeah, you know what? Maybe I should talk to the organizers about that. I didn't urge anybody to do that, but it was done. And then eventually, we had to force a change in leadership to our local group, you know?
Yeah.
Like the folks who had started our local group, they didn't have the skill set for creating an inclusive environment. It wasn't what they were trying to do. Just a community sprung up underneath them, and they didn't have 100% the skill set to make it what it could be.
They didn't have the tools.
Yeah. And like, you know, they weren't doing anything wrong in particular, you know, so, but they just, you know, they could do what they could do and they couldn't do what they couldn't. And it is what it is. So we had to force a change in leadership and then change a change in policies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. Also, you mentioned being fetishized in the book. Is, you know, for those who are into kink world, you know, some people don't mind certain fetishes, but I don't know if the race fetish I'm on FetLife, and I've seen some groups where race play is a thing and some people are in it. I've seen some submissives of African-American descent love the race play. So I'm not yucking on anybody else's yum.
For real.
But
it's not my kink, but it doesn't have to be my kink.
Exactly.
So, for me, it's okay if a person of color decides this is something I want to engage in. I'm going to find a white partner to engage in that with. Mm-hmm. My problem ends up being when white people bring it up as their personal kink. Like, if a white person shows up and says, well, I've got this Queen of Spades tattoo. I've got this King of Spades tattoo.
Oh, my God. You know, tell people what that is right quick.
Well, I mean, spade is a racial slur for black folks. That's and right. because of playing cards, there are people who adopt the term Queen of Spades or King of Spades, and they try to play it off as if it isn't racist when it's 100% racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meaning that I'm the queen of all black things or the king of all black things.
Like, we get it. You like black dick, but also there are human beings attached who don't want to be dehumanized. And like, some people are okay with that, but like, that's not a global thing. That's not an everyday, every person sort of thing. That's an opt-in, opt-out proposition. And there are people who don't take that into consideration. So if a black person wants to say like, hey, I like this race play, I want to get into it, fine. I have a problem with white folks either A, jumping into it without a preemptive black person involved, or also bringing that subconsciously, unconsciously into scenes, into events without even asking anybody.
Not only not getting consent. Who the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get me started on that. I can't tell you the number of times I've been approached at events and with white guys who just look at me longingly. It's like, you know, I've never had sex with a black woman. I'm like, do you see fantasy fulfilling across my fucking forehead? No,
exactly.
No, the fuck you don't. But anyway, we got to take a break. And on that note, Kevin, don't go away. We got more to talk about on the back end of the break. This is Taylor Sparks, your host, SistersOfSexuality.com, with our amazing guest, Kevin. And we'll be right back after the break.
Sexy is back. And we've got it going on all the time here on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Maximize your orgasms and just let go. The Throes of Passion waterproof pleasure blanket guarantees to keep your sheets dry, no matter how wet it gets. From massage oils to lubes and beyond, we've got your bed covered. So just throw it down and get it on and get lost in your very own Throes of Passion. Then toss it aside and bask in the afterglow of great sex in warm, dry sheets. The all-new Naked Fleece provides a soft and sexy playscape, while the Stay Dry Barrier protects your bed, your couch, and even your carpet. It's machine washable, large enough to cover a king-size bed, and light enough to travel discreetly. To get your own Throes of Passion waterproof pleasure blanket, visit thesexylifestyle.com and order yours today. That's thesexylifestyle.com. Great sex starts now.
When the lights are off, that's no reason not to light things up. Lube Light lets you pop its cap for instant illumination, so your lube gets applied to all the sweet spots and never the awkward ones. No more slippery midsection, unless you're into that. You can keep it turned on while you're getting down with your partner. Our ambient lighting is soft enough to never blind while you're doing the grind. No matter what lube gets you vibing, it's compatible with Lube Light. Easier to turn on than your last partner, guaranteed. Get yours today at lubelights.com. Also available on Amazon and SheVibe.
Organic lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious, playful, maybe sensual, adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toys, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adult-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you, for the bodies you love to love. Visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, call us at 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Hello, sex people. Welcome back. This is your host, Taylor Sparks, and we are here with the still handsome and still chocolatey Kevin Patterson from Poly Role Models and the author of Love's Not Colorblind. Welcome back, Kevin.
Hey, thank you. Thank you again.
You're most welcome, love. So before we run out of time, please tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
Well, I'm Poly Role Models on everything. I'm Poly Role Models on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Tumblr, which I don't really use a whole lot anymore, but I'm Poly Role Models there too. I do polyamory advice and video conference workshops by way of polyrolemodels@gmail.com. My book, Love's Not Colorblind, it's available on organiclovin.com.
Yes, it is.
It's available in stores, but like it's really also really easy to get at Amazon. Yep. And my sci-fi book for hire, which is queer polyamorous superhero stories, like just inclusive fiction written with my co-writer, Alana Phelan. That's available paperback on Amazon as an ebook everywhere, and we're currently working on an audiobook for the first book, For Hire Operator, and we're working on the second book, For Hire Audition, hopefully out this summer.
Sweet. That is so cool. So if you are a sci-fi polyamorous person, For Hire is the genre for you.
Yes, and that's For Hire Mag on Twitter and For Hire Mag on Facebook.
All right. There's no reason why y'all can't find him. He's everywhere, everywhere. And it's good. And if you guys don't have the book, I am going to highly, highly suggest that you get it. So we've got a few more minutes at the end. Tell people about owning your shit.
Yeah. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. Like, part of like fighting against like oppression and sort of understanding how it works is to acknowledge your place in the process. Now, I'm a cisgender guy. There are laws that like they don't sound like they're geared towards me, but they're geared against trans people, which means that they're geared for me. You know, like right now, there's so much fight about like uterus havers having the ability to own and control their own bodies.
Yes.
As a penis haver, that shit has nothing to do with me. And that's a privilege that I have. Right now, like, there are like straight pride parades being planned, and it's Pride Month, and people are trying to derail the conversation about straight pride parades. Now, up until very recently, I identified as straight. I no longer do so.
Okay.
And like, those are things that were geared towards, that benefited, that privileged me as a straight person while I was identifying that way. So like, what's really difficult is being able to say there's oppression happening and I benefit from that shit. You know, there's oppression happening and my silence furthers that shit. It's such a hard conversation to have because everybody wants to think of themselves in the best, most heroic terms possible. And to look in the mirror and say, I benefit from the oppression of, is not an easy thing to do, but you have to own that shit. And you've got to have conversations about it with people that look like you. Part of my responsibility as a cisgender man is to get in the faces of other cisgender men. Like all of my cishet dude bros that only show up to derail conversations about women's rights or like reproductive rights.
Yeah.
It's my job to get in their face because they're going to listen to me in a way that they're not going to listen to the people who are affected most by these conversations.
Like the white people shit. Listen to the other people's with the white people shit.
Exactly.
Gosh, Kevin, we're running out of time.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy conversation to have, but you got to own that shit and you got to get in the right faces.
And I appreciate that. On that note, we're going to end our show about owning shit. Listen, Kevin Patterson, thank you so much, founder of Poly Role Models and author of Love's Not Colorblind. And I thank you so much for being here, and we will catch up to you soon.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on. Have a good night.
Okay, you guys, this is Taylor Sparks, your host of SistersOfSexuality.com. And you can find me on social media on all platforms under Organic Lovin, that's LOVEN. And of course, you can log in, email sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. We're here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and on demand on all platforms. And we are sponsored by lifestylecruising.com. We look forward to talking to you guys next week. Have an amazing and oh so sexy night. Bye bye.
Thank you for tuning into Sisters of Sexuality. Please join Taylor Sparks, Parrish Michelle Blair, Jet Setting Jasmine, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sexy Lifestyle Network or on demand 24/7.